Month ago, when Pastor Scrivener was here, Thurman Scrivener, I think it was in October, a young lady, 71 years old, had suffered from diabetes all her life. So, on the time of prayer, the Lord called somebody that had been molested by diabetes. And if that person would stand up and come forward, God would heal them. And this young lady, 71 years old, stood up and came up front. So I look at her, she said, "I am the one who suffered from diabetes all my life." I said, "All right, it's time to get healed." "It sure is." Watch this. I asked my wife to lay hands on her belly, somewhere around what we thought the pancreas was. And we prayed for her. She had the guts to leave the church and go take diabetes medicine. Guess what? She ended up on the hospital because her sugar went down to 39. She asked God forgiveness for that. And for the last 6-8 months, she is diabetes free.
God.
Is God the God of what?
Yes. God.
You with me here?
Yes.
The God who says and does. And she said, "Pastor Santos, for my shame, I didn't fully believe, and I end up in a hospital." I said, "What about now?" I said, "I'm diabetes free." Diabetes free. If God did for her, God will do for you too.
Amen.
And for anyone that will trust in the Lord. You know, this morning, last week we spoke about perspective. Is that correct?
Yes.
This morning we spoke about never stop dreaming. Tonight I told you that I want to continue, but with the part B of that meditation. And the title for tonight's meditation, which will be short, is "Take the First Step Towards Your Miracle." When we perceive ourselves in the wrong way, we get stagnant. Pessimism is a dream killer. And this morning we learn how God wants us to dream, especially the mature guns. I don't like to call old, especially the mature guns. God wants us to be alive and well. God wants to dream about the things that God dreams about us. God wants us to keep dreaming about the dreams that He has for us. Now tonight I want to address the other side of the coin. Dreaming alone is not enough. Take action. Take action to fulfill God's dream or dreams in your life. A lot of people think that God is a babysitter. They come to God asking for a blessing, for a miracle, and then they sit down and expect God to do the whole thing. That's not a biblical concept. Let me start by showing you John chapter 5, verse 8. Take action. You know, in order for you to fully understand that scripture, maybe we'll be smart. Brother Harry, is it possible, please, for you to go back to verse 3? And then we're going to go one by one. They were at the tank where a great number of sick people lied. And once a year, an angel came, shook the water, and whosoever got to the tank first got healed. Jesus Christ is passing by, and He says, the Bible says, "In this, on the tank, lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water." Verse 4. "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Notice that the people who were standing on that pool were lame people, paralytic, blind, deaf, people that could not help themselves on the natural. Is that correct? So because they couldn't help themselves on the natural, they need a supernatural power to bring them back to health. Now God decided to give them a token of His power. And He sent, ever so often, an angel to come and stir up the water in the pool. But do you know what? The angel could stir that water up a whole day. If somebody would not take action, that stirred water wouldn't do any good. Amen. Are you following up with me here right now? So once the angel stirred up the water, it says the first person that came to that water, stepped into that water after it was stirred, was healed. Amen. Come on, preacher. They are lame. They are paralytics. If you really want your miracle really, really, really bad, you will find your way. Amen. If we think about that woman that has the flux of blood, I mean, you are under the curse of the flux of blood. And as such, you're not supposed to be even in the middle of the crowd, much less touch the master's garment. But she said in her head, you know what? If I can only touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. And she took a chance of being stoned, made the first move. An action was required. And when she touched the garment, Jesus turned around, who touched me? The disciples said, what is wrong with you, Lord? I mean, there's 3,000 people here, everybody squeezing each other. And you say, you ask, who touched me? I think Jesus looked at Peter, shut up. Somebody touched me because I felt power coming out of me. That touch of that woman was different from the touch of everybody else. The throng was just going for the ride. But that woman had taken action. The action is, I'm sick and tired of this flux of blood, and I've got to get healed. So I'm going to do me something, and I'm going to step out, duck among people, and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. In this case here, the angel would have come once, ever so often, and stir the water. But you've got to make some effort to jump into that pool so you could be healed. Now listen to verse 5. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Boy, that's quite a length of time to be sick. 38 years. Verse 6. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Somebody may think, what kind of question is this? I mean, he knows the dude has been sick for 38 years. I mean, come on, Jesus. What is wrong with you? With Jesus, nothing wrong. What is wrong with the dude? You've been sick for 38 years and you know that the angel come and steal the water and you are laying down? Well, what do you want him to do? At least sit! Jesus is trying to provoke this man to think. So Jesus come, do you want to be made well? Many times we need a breakthrough, we need a miracle. But instead of sitting down, watching out for Jesus, watching out for the angel to bring that miracle, we are laying down, waiting for God to do all the work for us. It don't work like that. Listen to the next verse, verse 7. The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Isn't that very common today?
Yes.
People will not take responsibility for the things that they're supposed to do.
Right.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Yes.
I don't have anybody to help me. If my mother was richer and she would have lent me $100,000, I could be doing better in life. Get a life. Get real. Your God can do anything when you are ready to
Amen.
Jump into the pool.
Amen.
Your God will bless and give you breakthrough if we are ready to take action instead of sitting down and laying down and waiting for things to happen. Now, what is extremely incredible here is the man's answer. The Lord is talking to you, dude. Do you want to be made well? Well, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Then I stay close to the pool. So Jesus knew this is one of those that is worthless to butt heads with him. Verse 8. Instead of continue talking that nonsense or arguing with him, Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. You may say, well, what's the big deal here? I'll show you what's the big deal. In order for you and I to have our blessings, our breakthrough to come right away, we need to take action. And we gotta do it now. Notice here that Jesus demanded immediate action from this man. He didn't ask him to run a marathon. He didn't ask him to climb a mountain. He told him to get up. First things needs to be first. So what you're saying? First thing, take a step. Do something you haven't done. Or do something you haven't been able to do. That's when something supernatural will begin to happen. I want you to listen carefully here. On the eve of your breakthrough, you do what you can do in the natural. Then God will add His super to your natural, and the result is that you're going to have supernatural power to achieve your breakthrough.
Amen.
I don't think you got that.
Yes.
On the evening of your breakthrough, on the eve of your breakthrough, do what you can do in the natural. Then your God will add His super to your natural, and it will result in the supernatural power for your breakthrough. Listen to Psalms 21:13. Watch this. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. The power to do the supernatural is not in us. But we can take the first step on the natural, and the supernatural power of God will be added to our natural, and then you have a supernatural situation that will lead us to sing and praise that great power working for us to get our supernatural. You know, sometimes it's something as simple as forgiving someone. What is simple? The step that you have to take on the natural. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Sometimes it's something as simple as forgiving someone or giving a gift to someone or giving an offering to God. Sometimes all we need to do is have that attitude of praising God when we don't feel like doing it.
Yes.
And you know, if we just can see the results right away, don't worry if the progress is slow. And I would suggest, forget about what you haven't been able to do up until now. I'm asking now you, what's stopping you from having your breakthrough? If you are like most people, you may question whether you can truly change your situation. Many times people don't get their breakthrough because they don't believe that things could ever change. You know how many times we get phone calls of people asking for help, and then when we try to show him that this is not your portion, this is not what God desires for you, there's an usual suspect that call here, and every time she calls with a different number. But I know the voice. I know the voice. So last time she called, I said, what's your name again? She said, so-and-so. I said, I told you the time before last when you called, this is not your portion. I never called you. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I know your voice. And then I told her the episode. Once I finished telling her the episode, she goes, boom, and she hung up on me. Sometimes people don't believe that their situation will ever change. Anything can change. We don't have to be on the slam all the time. We don't have to be under any time. I can guarantee you one thing for sure. The only thing that I know for sure that will not change is God. So now, let me tell you, if you have had a dream, and this dream never came through, I'm challenging you to take action to make the first move, to jump into the water, because the ideas that God has about you and I are awesome. Watch this. When we go, for example, to Exodus 19, verse 5, this is what God thinks of you. Read it with me. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant,
you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth. For all the earth will come to me.
When we obey God, the Bible says that we will be His special treasured people. Now, this is a quite special kind of people, you know. Look at your neighbor and ask, how are you, special one?
How are you, special one?
I'm a special. Listen to the backslide of translation. Watch this. If you listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all peoples, you will be my special treasure. You are special.
Amen.
You are treasured by God. So if things are not happening yet, start obeying God. Make the first move. Take action. Make the first move. Take the first step towards your blessing. You want to see how sweet it gets? Exodus 20, verse 6. Watch this. Let's read it. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. God will lavish unfailing love upon you and your descendants when you obey God. So if the breakthrough is not here yet, let's step out and make the first move towards the blessings that God has for us. The backslider translation basically says the same thing, but I love the way it puts. But I'm unswerving loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commands. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
is that kind of loyalty that will never change. Yes. Well, I'm preaching, but I'm not still getting my blessing. You ain't getting your blessings not because God's love for you have changed. It might very well be because you have not made yet the first step. You have not taken action towards your miracle, towards your blessing. Let me share something a little crazy with you here. And we are not bragging. We are just telling you that you've got to give God something to work with. You have to step out. We had a little pocket change. And we decided to bless someone in the kingdom of gold. Now, common sense says you shouldn't do this right now because you might need that money pretty soon. I want to travel within 2 months, so that could be used to pay at least one ticket. But we decide to sow. We made the first step. When we did that, we didn't do that because we were expecting God to do anything else. We did it because we love God. God placed in our hearts a desire to do that, and we did. It didn't take a week. Service is over. A week ago, somebody pulled my wife aside, pulled me aside, and said, "The Lord sent me here tonight to bless you. And I want to sow on you." I don't know who the person is. I don't even know the person's name. So we took it, we blessed the person, and we went home. When we got home, she went to look. $1,000. Wow. You know, your miracle may very well be one step away.
Amen.
Y'all remember Jerry Savelle, right?
Yes.
He came to our services. He preached for us last year. Yes. When he got back home, he had a citation, Cessna Citation 500. It's a jet made by Cessna. It's not the baby one. The baby one is the Mustang. It's the new one. But before the Mustang came, it was the smallest jet from Cessna. It takes 6 passengers, flies about 420 miles per hour. The Lord asked him if he would be willing to sow that jet in somebody else's ministry. I said, sure. He got the title and the keys and handed it over to Kenneth Copeland's grandchildren. They just, you know, jump into ministry, the grandsons of Kenneth Copeland. So the Lord said, you want to sow on their lives? Sure. He signed the title on the back, that the keys go to Kenneth Copeland's grandchildren, grandsons. Gave them the jet. Well, of course, these boys were, you know. Then Jerry said, "Well, Lord, if you give me a Mustang, I'll be happy with it." So the Citation Mustang is the newest model of the small jet family, and it takes 6 seats, just like the 500. But it's just a little bit smaller, and it goes a little slower. Well, Jerry said on his testimony that he thought, that's it, I'm done with the airplane, I don't think God's going to do anything anymore. God pulled him by the ear. What's going on with you? Didn't I tell you in 1969 that you need an airplane to do all I have told you to do? Yes. Did I say I'm done with you? No. So what's going on? I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, thank you for my new jet. He started thanking God. He took the first step. He started thanking God for the new jet. And then he's sowing. He's sowing somebody else's ministry. And he even sent money for the boys, the Copeland boys, to help with maintenance. I'm thinking, my Lord, this dude is really out there for God. Well, somebody called him. He even gave the name of the people. said, Brother Jerry, you don't know us, but the Lord told us to sow into your ministry. We have a citation 5. Wow. It's yours. Come and get it. Now, let me give you an idea. A citation 500 costs about $800 to $1 million. A citation Mustang costs about $2.5-3 million. And then you have the citation 1, citation 2, citation 3, citation 4, citation 5. The citation 500 carries 6 passengers, fly 320 miles, nautical miles, or 420 miles per hour. The citation 5 takes 8 people plus the crew, which make 10 people, and fly about 590 to 620 miles. And it cost an average of $5.5 to $6 million. Now, is God God or what? God's unswerving loyal love for us will not change. So what do I do to get my blessing, my breakthrough? Take action. Make the first step. You know, when we are obedient, there's its reward. By being obedient to God and making that first move, Deuteronomy 5:29 tells us the following. Read it with me. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments. Take the first step. Take the first step to obey your God and keep His commandments so that you may prosper, your children may also prosper. I like the way that the New Living Translation put this thing. Watch this. Oh, that they would always have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey all my commands. If they did, guess what? They and their descendants would prosper forever. Let's take action. Let's move. Let's make the first step towards obeying God. And let prosperity sit in. Amen?
Amen.
You go a little bit further. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 3, it tells us the following. Blessed you shall be in the city. God's desires for all of us is for us to be well-to-do. We've got to take action. We cannot lay by the poolside. We've got to have our eyes open and expect that God will do what He says He will. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's as simple as forgiving someone for the breakthrough to come. So what is stopping you? Don't question if your life, your situation can truly change. When this man in John started making excuses, first thing he said was, I have no man. The first thing Jesus said after he made his statement was, rise and take up your bed and walk. Notice that Jesus starts in John 8 giving this man direction. He gave Jesus the excuse. When Jesus asked if you want to be healed, he gave Jesus an excuse. Then Jesus gave him direction and gave a command. The way to break out of failure in our lives, the way to break away from the inability to change things, is to take immediate action. And let me tell you this. You've got to walk. before you can run.
Amen.
You've got to run before you can fly. What you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is, you may be on the eve of your breakthrough. You've got to start somewhere. And why not start by being obedient to God and taking the first step?
Amen.
You really may just be a step away. Let me tell you this. You have to start somewhere, and you have to start now. It may not happen all at once, but I can guarantee you, you will grow. Jesus said, rise. That's the first step. Then Jesus said, take up your bed. In other words, Jesus was saying, get your stuff. Jesus didn't tell this man, get your stuff, get his act together, until this man took the first step. What was the first step? Rise. Stand on your feet. Very often we won't do anything until we think we can do everything. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Nothing does. Everything starts with one simple act of obedience. You may think, well, preacher, you know, this is quite a harsh. No, it's not. Let me give you another example. Did you remember when Jesus went to a wedding and they came to Jesus and said that they were out of wine? Remember that? So what did Jesus tell them? Fill the water pots with water. Is that right?
Yes.
We've got a problem here. We have a wedding and we are out of wine. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is around here. Who's Jesus? Jesus, the son of the carpenter. The son of God. He's here. Oh, okay. Mary, what? Come here. Can you tell your son Jesus we're out of wine? Why? We don't have wine. You're disgusting people. How are you going to make a wedding you don't even have wine? So she comes to Jesus. Excuse me, son. Yes, ma'am. They're out of wine. Hmm. Look, woman, what have I to do with thee? My time is not.
Yet.
My time has not arrived. Okay, son. Turn back. Do whatever he says. Mothers. Mothers. Huh? Mothers. So the boys are standing right before Jesus. One of them said, what are you all doing here? I told her my time is not yet. And they are looking at Jesus. All right. Fill all the empty jars with water. Now we got a problem here. We already have water. We don't need water. We need wine. Is that right?
Yes.
And here is where it comes, what I told you before. You do what you can do on the natural. God will add his super. And you have a combination of supernatural events to create your miracle. All right? They needed wine. They needed a miracle. But the miracle didn't start with them until they took immediate action and did whatever Jesus told them to do. You know, you may need a miracle real bad tonight, and you don't know where to start. All right, let me give you a suggestion. What about starting by what Jesus told us to do in the book? What did he say? I don't know what kind of miracle you need, but go to the Bible and find a scripture that is compatible to your miracle and make the first step. You did your little natural. He's going to add his super. And within no time, you're going to have a supernatural strength to bring about your breakthrough. Are you getting what I'm trying to say tonight?
Amen.
Maybe think, is that story in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's found in the book of John, chapter 2. You want to read it real quick?
Yes.
Elder Ellis, may I have John 7? 2-7, rather. The next 4 or 5 verses. John 2-7. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Good boys. He didn't tell them to fill to the brims. But hey, why not? The master told us to fill up. We're going to fill to the top. Verse 8. He said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. Did you notice that every single command that Jesus commanded, these boys were on the top of their game? Now, the carnal mind, the natural mind, won't be able to absorb this. Dude, we need wine, not water. All right, let's fill up the water. Now, once you finish filling up, it's done. It's filled to the top. What next? Now take it to the master of the feast. Did you notice that they didn't question the master?
No.
Notice that? They didn't question. They just pick up the water and go to the fellow, hey, here. I thought you said we don't have wine. We don't. What is this? This Jesus guy told us to fill up the jars, and we did, to the brink. Now he told us to give you this. Really? Try it. Verse 9. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. Are you here with me? The boys knew where the water came from. The guy who tested the wine didn't. Verse 10. And he said to the groom, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. You know, the beauty about Jesus is that he defies logic. He defies logic. I love him for that. You know, your breakthrough may look so far away, but at one word of Jesus, things can change to the better. You see that? Things can change to the better. So what you're saying, preacher, perhaps what we need to do is just take a leap of faith and make the first move. Take action. Don't lay down by the pool. Make the first move and watch God change the water into your life into the best quality wine. Listen to verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I'm going to go out on a limb right now, and I will venture to say this. Perhaps God may have allowed things to be tough and difficult in my life, in your life, in our lives, just to provoke us to get up from our lazy butt and make our first move towards believing in His ability to change the situation. But we've got to take action. We can't sit down and expect that God's going to do all the work for us. You know, tonight here, we may have somebody who needs a financial breakthrough, a financial change. What do I do, preacher? Tithe. What? I said I need a financial change. Yes.
Amen.
What's the solution? Tithe.
Amen.
You may say, that won't fix it. But you know what? It is the first action step that you know to take.
Yes.
I don't understand. You want to be blessed financially? Learn to give.
Amen.
Plain and simple.
Amen.
And when you do, God will show you the next step. And your miracle will be awaiting to you there.
Yes.
So take action now. Don't wait for more money to come in. Oh, I'm going to start giving to the church when the Lord blessed me with a $10,000 job a month. You will be in poverty for the rest of your life. Take the first step. Don't wait for the right circumstances. What do you mean to do? You create the right circumstances by the seeds that you sow. Well, preacher, this is quite hard. Let me wrap up tonight by saying this. God will always respond to our moves. Did you know that? God will always respond to our moves. If you don't move, God can't respond because God doesn't know what you want to do. So you need a financial blessing? Yes, start tithing.
Amen.
And you know what is ridiculous? Muslim people who believe on the God moon give 20% of their income without complaining. And some of us will be fussing to give 10%. Are you with me here? You had to go there, didn't you? Yes, I do. Let me stop here. My final scripture, and I'm wrapping with this. Brother Harry, can you put up the Ecclesiastes chapter 11? Let's start in verse 1. I want you to see this. Give me the New Living Translation. It's easy for everybody to understand. Send your grain across the seas. And in time, okay, let's make it. Give me the backslide of translation because they can't read this translation. Seems like. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Did you get that?
Yes.
Charity yields high returns. Verse 2. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. 3. When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the winds blow down a tree, it lies where it falls. 4. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. 5. Just as you'll never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. Therefore, verse 6, go to work in the morning and stick to it until evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how you work will turn out in the end. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Now this verse is better said in the New Living Translation. Brother Harry, give me the NLT here. Watch this. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. You don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both.
Amen.
Need a financial breakthrough? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Start sowing. Keep on casting your bread upon the waters. After many days, it will come back to you.
Hallelujah.
Folks, the whole purpose of this meditation tonight was this. When we have the wrong perspective of ourselves, it causes us to be miserable. And in being miserable, we get pessimist and depressed, and that will kill the dreams that God has for us. Notwithstanding, when we have the right perspective and we understand what God thinks about us, life can take a whole new turn, because the promises of God are steadily and true. God will never change His mind about blessing you. Never. I have here at least 4 or 5 more scriptures that proves to you that God will never change His mind about you and about your miracle. There is nobody on planet Earth, nobody in the whole universe that can cause God to change His mind about the blessings that God has for each one of us. Did you know that? Can I give you 1 or 2 more verses?
Yes.
You ain't gonna get mad at me?
No.
1 Samuel 15:29 tells us this. Watch this. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he's not a man that we should relent. Isn't that something?
Amen.
You know, Brother Harry, give him the New Living Translation from this point forth. It says better. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie. I told you early this evening that God's desire is to bless you in the city. God's desire is to bless you in the county. You're blessed, period. And the God who blesses you will not lie. Nor will He change His mind. For He is not human that He should change His mind. I want you to reach out to somebody close to you and say, God has not changed His mind about you. When you go a little bit further, Job 23:13 tells us the following. Read it with me. But once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, God hasn't changed his mind about the blessings that he has to you. And you know what? Once you make up his mind, nobody can change his mind. He will do it whenever He wants to do it, and nobody will be able to persuade God to change the blessings that He has in store for you. When you go to Isaiah 14:27, the same concept comes back. Watch this. Read it with me. The Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change His plan? When His hand is raised, reach to your neighbor and say, nobody can stop God's hand from blessing you. Well, what about if I sinned? What about if I did something wrong? Well, Malachi 3:6 tells you that even if you messed up, watch this. I am the Lord. I do not change. That's why your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. God is unchangeable.
Amen.
The portion that He has allotted to you will come. Amen. So what do I do? Make the first step.
Hallelujah.
Take action. Don't lay down by the pool. Get up. I can't get up. Sit down. But you didn't get no blessing while you're laying down.
Amen.
Keep on casting your bread upon the waters. After many days, it will come back to you. And remember, charity yields high dividends.
Amen.
May the God of Israel bless you tonight.